death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds.
This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news on WGRN 94.1. Welcome to the other side of the news. I'm here with Harvey Wasserman on WGRN.
Hey.
Good to hear from you, Harvey.
Likewise, man. Great to be on in the post-Trump era. You know, I feel like I got out of the dentist chair after being in it for 4 years.
Well, the listeners need to know we're recording this right after on Inauguration Day on Wednesday, right after the inauguration ceremony. So proceed
right
with your tooth extraction.
Yeah, well, the tooth has been extracted. And, you know, I got my piece up at Reader Supported News at freepress.org. I mean, with you, Bob, we just really have somehow dodged this incredible bullet that was shot at us at American democracy.
You mean authoritarianism, fascism, despot, what?
Yeah, destroying the earth, you know, small things like that. Racial bigotry, mobster theft. I mean, the term that should have been used about Trump all along is mobster. He's just a guy from organized crime. In the Corleone family, he'd have been a street thug, you know. People are going to look back and wonder how...
He's pretty ruthless. I think he would have moved up a little from street thug.
Yeah, possibly. But, you know, not without his father's money. So, you know, I mean, this guy was a nothing. It's just a nothing. And wound up doing incredible damage to our country, but somehow we've gotten through it. And let's just hope that Joe Biden turns out to be a decent guy. That's the one thing people seem to be able to say about him, is he's a decent guy. And his initial appointments, at least on the environmental side and the energy side, have actually been very good. Jennifer Granholm at the Department of Energy is actually a very good pick. Deb Haaland, the first indigenous at Interior, very, very good. And at the EPA, he put in a guy named Michael Regan, unfortunate last name, but an African-American from North Carolina. And I asked with our mutual friends in North Carolina, and they were ecstatic. They said he's a really good guy. So that's a good start. Other ones, you know, we don't know yet, but he seems to understand that, you know, we've come out of a gargantuan sinkhole here and that something's got to be done. And certainly in terms of qualifications for the job, I mean, there was nobody who's been around the higher echelons of power longer than Joe Biden. So he's got his work cut out for him, but hopefully, you know, we'll get some. I don't care about bipartisanship with the Republicans. You know, I'm against that as far as I'm concerned. He shouldn't have to work with these
clowns.
No more
Obama, Abe Lincoln, you know, and Minnesota.
Yeah, no, he's got to work with the left. He's got to work with the people on the green side and really do what needs to be done to save this earth and to get us some social justice and to, you know. But that mob, man, that mob that Trump incited, that was a really clarifying moment in U.S. history. I mean, we really got to see what the far right looks like, you know. And these people, if they had gotten their hands on Nancy Pelosi or AOC or Bernie Sanders, they would have killed them. I mean, there's no doubt about that. These people were murderers. And I'm glad to see that Trump didn't have enough integrity to pardon any of them. So now we're going to see what's going to happen here. But this was an attempted fascist coup. There's no doubt about it. No other way to describe it. It was, you know, Hitler in Munich in 1923. And these people were just flat out fascists. No doubt about it. And then the guy in the horns, you know, that was, at least we had a little levity there, you know, the line about the guy with the horns, the Q guy with his face painted and, you know, no shirt and all that stuff. He was the perfect representation of these people. And of course, the line about him is that this is what happens when you cancel Burning Man. So we'll see now. But, you know. And we have Kamala Harris, who's actually really the most important figure of the whole drama, because, you know, this is really about a demographic tsunami. If you look at the election, and we, you know, those of us, Bob, you and me, and other people who've been working on election protection, and you really did all the basic investigative work in Ohio 2004, and Greg and Bev Harris in Florida 2000, you know, pointing out that the flaws in our electoral system was critical in this election, because if this election had been done, this presidential election had been done on touchscreen machines, there is no way that Trump would not have won. I mean, they would have just did what they had to do and flipped the vote counts, and that would have been it. But because we had paper ballots, which we've been arguing for 2 decades, obviously a lot of it happened because of the COVID. But if you look at the numbers, there had already been in 2018 a massive shift to paper ballots. The 2018 election had a much higher percentage of paper ballots than ever before. And then the COVID, of course, in 2020, I've seen numbers of up to 90% of the ballots were done on paper. And that's the only way that Trump was defeated. It never would have happened on touchscreen machines. If this election in 2020 had been conducted like 2004 or 2008 or even 2012, there's no way that Biden would have won. Just never would have happened. So, you know, that's critical. And going forward now, we have our Election Protection 2024 movement. We want to get D.C. statehood, actually. Then one of the things about this riot on January 6th was it really underscored the need for D.C. statehood, because you had the mayor of D.C. who called for the National Guard. And they turned her down. Well, I mean, there were 300
with Trump, right? Their commander in chief was Trump.
Yeah. So, you know, but if she had been a governor, you know, the governors have control over the National Guard to a certain extent.
Well, they're federal own state National Guard. Yeah.
Yeah. So if she had been the governor of D.C. as opposed to the mayor, she didn't need Trump. She could have got the state guard out there. And this wouldn't have happened. I mean, they had 300 guards people out, but they were all directing traffic and helping people into the metro. You know, they weren't where they needed to be.
Right. They were protecting the Capitol.
Exactly. They were protecting the fascists.
They were running jaywalkers.
Right. I mean, it's like, oh, you want to overthrow the government? Okay, well, here, this is how you do it. Be careful crossing the street. And, you know, just take care of yourself.
And the bus stop is 3 blocks down to join up with the insurrection.
Yes. Yeah. Look for the bus that says insurrection on it.
For the Sixth fancy Street. Buses paid for by Clarence Thomas's wife.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I hope that starts to come out. He needs to be impeached. Forget about impeaching Trump. I don't care about impeaching Trump. I care about impeaching Clarence Thomas, for God's sakes. Get him off the court, you know. So before I forget about, by the way, I'm wondering if, you know, it's pretty clear to Stephen Breyer that Breyer will resign. And, you know, he's in his 80s. And I'm wondering if Michelle Alexander from Ohio State might be on the short list. He said he's going to appoint a black woman of color. I mean, how old is she?
The problem we have there is she's not a judge. Usually the people appointed are the circuit court appeals judges.
Uh-huh. Well, at any rate, so, you know, we dodged this bullet.
But I'm with you, is that they ought to think outside the box with Michelle Alexander.
Well, how old is she? That's the question. You know, I mean, we want somebody in her 40s. She must be in her 50s or 60s, right?
At least on her book cover, she looks in her 40s.
Yeah, well, that would be good. I think she'd probably make a pretty good Supreme Court justice.
Right, because but, you know, went outside the box with his last appointment.
You mean, the wonderful pro-life Amy Barrett, who allowed Trump to, you know, we got to save the unborn.
She wasn't an Ivy, and she was from Notre Dame. I mean, virtually everyone appointed in the last half a century has been from an Ivy League school, usually Yale or Harvard.
Right. Well, you know, whatever the case of Amy Barrett there, you know, crying all these crocodile tears about the unborn and respecting life, couldn't find her way to stop Trump from murdering 13 people on death row. I mean, also unprecedented. What a scumbag. You know, he's got to kill these people.
We worked on together. Has that come
up? Yes. Oh, yeah. That's out. That should be at the Free Press or Reader Supported News about, you know, the great pro-life Amy Barrett, who sits there and does nothing while Trump slaughters these 13 people on the. I mean, it's just pathetic, sickening. And then he got them all. He got every one of everybody on death row that he wanted to kill, despite innumerable court cases.
Except Nancy Pelosi, he got them all, either death row
or right.
congressional row.
Yeah. So, you know, oh, hi, honey. I thought you had gone. I'm sorry. My daughter's here. So, you
Shoshi
is here in California. She is. I'm talking to you from sunny California.
Band Shoshi and the Pussycats.
Well, you know, being on the radio from Southern California here to Ohio, I hate to tell you what the temperature is, so I won't. You'll lose all your listeners. But anyway.
This is a freezing 31 with a nasty wind.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I won't tell you what it is here, but... just let's say that I'm going to be doing this show from outside. So, you know, the immense relief that we have is tempered by all the incredible work we've got to do. I mean, you know, we're facing just innumerable challenges. But what we really have to do, you know, our group, that you and I have been working to for so long.
What we really need to do is say, you're listening to WGRN FM. 94.1, the Green Renaissance, with the legendary Green Renaissance man, Harvey Wasserman.
Well, you know, I've been struggling for a word, Bob, because going forward, we're not really saving American democracy. What we're doing is advancing, and I don't have the right word yet, because, for example, in Georgia, there was a miracle what happened there to win those two Senate seats, to defeat two incumbents, U.S. senators with a black guy and a Jewish guy in Georgia, for God's sakes. And that's what people lost track of. We're not talking about, you know, Massachusetts or you know, even Wisconsin, some, you know, state with a liberal history. I mean, Georgia is where the Klan was reborn, for God's sakes, you know, and the idea that you could put a black guy and a Jewish guy simultaneously into the U.S. Senate from Georgia is a miracle. It's not preserving American democracy. It's taking it to a level it's never been on before.
Right.
So
the closest thing is when the women's movement defeated, you know, a couple male senators there prior to 1920, signaling that that they could get male votes and toss out male sexist senators.
Yeah, and we had Jeanette Rankin go to the U.S. Congress, the first woman from Montana, for God's sakes. And then, of course, she became the
first state to give women the right to vote, Montana.
Montana, and then she voted against going into World War One, and then repeated that miraculously. It's such an amazing story. She gets back in the U.S. Congress in 1940 and becomes the only member of Congress to vote against the declaration of war in World War II. So that's an amazing story. But this, what we have here, and this is the success, not of the Democratic Party pouring in the hundreds of millions of dollars into TV ads, which they're, you know, their six-figure consultants get, you know, big bucks for. It's outrageous, these guys. You know, I get what, five, six emails an hour asking me for money, you know, from the same old crew at the Democratic Party. But this was the Atlanta NAACP and Andrea Miller's group, People Demanding Action, and you know, Common Ground and the Free Press, you know, all our work that we've done to get grassroots. And everybody says grassroots, 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 and nobody does it. And what the NAACP in Georgia did was have a ground game. And with a minuscule fraction of the money that the Democrats throw away, they went in there and really got people out. It's an incredible victory, a real miracle in Georgia. what just happened. And it's a miracle that we defeated Trump. Like I say, if you and me and Greg and Bev Harris and John Brakey and Mimi Kennedy and so many other people hadn't been working to convert this country to hand-marked, hand-counted, digitally scanned paper ballots, Trump would be getting re-inaugurated and people would be committing mass suicide. I mean, can you imagine the idea of four more years of that guy?
Well, they would have been, after the push, the Capitol Hill push, they would have been singing the Horst Wessel Lied, which roughly is jack boots marching in the street, beating up the Jews.
Yep. I mean,
all the homosexual. I mean, that's what they were, man. These were real brown shirts.
They were. They were indeed. And let's hope to God they get prosecuted and have a nice time in prison, because we can't have this again. And like I said, maybe we should write a piece saying that they should not, before they bother wasting everybody's time impeaching Trump, they should be impeaching Clarence Thomas.
They should go after
him off the court.
That got little initials, RWDS, which stands for Right Wing Death Squad. A lot of these guys had those code words.
Right. And let's hope,
really,
by the way,
they were looking for people to kill.
They were. They would have killed. They would have killed Nancy Pelosi. There's no doubt about it. They would have killed Bernie if they got their hands on him, or AOC.
Trevor Noah said that it would have been tragic. They would have killed Mike Pence, and the tragedy would he would have died a virgin.
Well, at least his wife. But he showed up at the inauguration with Biden. He did. He was there, and he was being a mensch. And the real reason that Mitch McConnell wants Trump impeaches, he wants him. He doesn't want to have to deal with the possibility that Trump's going to be a candidate in 2024. I mean, they want Trump out. They want his wing. of the party, of the Republican Party, wants Trump done and gone forever. I mean, basically, Bob, we have it's a two-party system, but we actually have four parties. You've got the Trump wing of the Republican Party. You got the Nazi wing of the Republican Party, the Trump wing. These are the hardcore fascists, the ones who stormed the Capitol. Then you got the corporate Republicans. You got the residual Pence, McConnell, Bush, Mitt Romney Republicans, who are, the country club guys, the big money, sort of genteel.
Many of them like corporate capitalism, but not fascist.
Yeah, right. Corporate capitalism without the Reich, without the storming of the Reichstag. I mean, they own the Reich. They don't have to storm it.
That's why.
And then you got the corporate Then you got the corporate Democrats, who in the next 2 years really got to go. I mean, there's got to be a generational change at the Democratic Party.
Well, there was.
Brought
in with Gore and Clinton, right? The Leadership Council after Mondale's defeat in '84 is a Labor Dem.
Yeah, and that didn't work out so well. So, I mean, they did succeed in changing the culture. I mean, thanks to Bill Clinton, we had a long overdue national dialogue on oral sex. I mean, that was his basic, his basic contribution, Clinton's was. And the Clintons were terrible politically, but culturally, they did advance the ball a little bit. And
they did what hippies do.
What's that?
A little free love.
Yeah, they did. I mean, Bill really never zipped his pants. But they certainly made no major advances in any way, shape, or form in social democracy or even democracy at all. I mean, that generation, the Clinton Obama 16 years, you can't point, except for Obamacare, which was done by our friend Joel Siegel, you can't point to any significant advances in social democracy under Clinton or Obama. I mean, they didn't do nothing. And that's got to change. We did get a black president, which is a big deal. And Obama did run literally the queenest administration in the history of the United States. I mean, I think his administration may well be the only one in the history of the United States that did not have major indictments of anybody. Right. And, you know, he didn't fool.
His low point was overthrowing Gaddafi and unleashing the jihadists.
Yeah, that was not a good move. And nor Honduras, they didn't help us much in Honduras either.
But compared domestically and corruption, he did quite well being
beautifully
anti-corruption president.
Well, he knew if he fooled around that Michelle would kill him. And, he knew also that. What's that?
He was in better shape. She was had better guns. He could. I'm better than her.
Yeah, right. So, now we have to have Pelosi is 80. You know, Schumer is 70. Dianne Feinstein is like 110. You know, these people are just going to have to step aside, and we will have a new generation. And it starts with Kamala Harris. We'll see how progressive she's going to be. I think Biden's inclination at this point is to be pretty progressive. You know, he's talking a good game. You have Bernie Sanders chairing the Senate Finance Committee. That's a big deal. Paul Ryan explicitly mentioned that as a potential nightmare years ago. You know, oh my God, if we're going to wind up with Bernie chairing the Senate Finance Committee, it's come true. It's happened. So that'll be fun. So we'll see. It's not a good, big majority there, but I assume Ossoff and Warnock, the two senators now from Georgia, are going to be pretty progressive. They ran a pretty progressive campaign. They didn't hide behind all this corporate rhetoric. I mean, Warnock was the reverend at Martin Luther King's church, for God's sakes. And Ossoff basically came out of nowhere. He seems like a liberal Jewish kid, you know, what can I say? So, there is reason to hope for some progress, which will have to be made. I mean, we are just going to have to move ahead, or we're down, in the dumps. So we got to get Medicare for all. There has to be a guaranteed minimum income. Got to deal with homelessness. If the COVID proved one thing, it's
that we military budget.
Well, it's got to be. I mean, we have the U.S. military is perfectly designed to defeat the Soviet Union in 1985. I mean, it's not
Harvey. 2 minutes.
What's that?
We got 2 minutes to go. But great.
Really? That's all? Well, listen, Bob, I mean, we have great, we're speaking to you hours after the disgraceful departure of Donald Trump, even more obscene than we might have imagined. We have a new day in front of us, and let's hope that we can move the corporate Democrats off the dime, get some real social change made, convert the country to solartopia, to green power, get Medicare for all. I mean, these things have to happen. And we don't have a strong majority in the Senate, that's for sure. But let's just hope that the change can be made, because God knows if we don't do it, we're going to get somebody worse than Donald Trump. Somebody in there who's actually moderately sane, but who want, like Paul Ryan, who wants to destroy the earth. So this, especially in the next 2 years.
Of Ohio.
Yeah. I mean, Jim Jordan, God, what a nightmare he is. And we got to get rid of gerrymandering. We got to get rid of the Electoral College. We got to have universal, hand-marked, hand-counted paper ballots. Got to get D.C. statehood and Puerto Rico if they want it. And we got a very clear agenda here. So people can join us at freepress.org or come to electionprotection2024.org, join our Monday Zoom calls. And, again, remember, without the election protection movement, Donald Trump would still be president. And we would be hopeless.
And that's the
words hopeless.
From Grammy Award-winning part author of Solartopia, Harvey Wasserman. You've been listening to The Other Side of the News. And right after the inauguration, that sent away Donald Trump and gave us, of course, Biden. We're going to see what happens there. Thanks, Harvey, for being on The Other Side of the
News. Hey, thank you, man.
All right. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.